Welcome to the Best Science Medicine Podcast, BS without the BS.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the 399th episode of the Best Science Medicine Podcast. My name is James McCormack, and I'm a professor with the Faculty of Pharmaceutical Sciences at the University of British Columbia.
I'm Mike Allen. I'm a family doctor. I'm the director of program and practice support at the College of Family Physicians of Canada and a professor at the University of Alberta.
And Mike, I know you well enough that there's very little reason why I would come to see you. But I'm getting there.
But I'm just thinking about some of your script refills that you might.
Yes, well, that's the only reason. But
because you'll visit many doctors to try and get those filled. But yeah. Keep going.
But there are many reasons that people come and visit primary care clinicians. And
they do. There's many reasons that they visit good doctors.
Yes, and not so good ones. And so. You and the gang in Alberta did a pretty comprehensive review of why people come and see you guys. What are the most common conditions in primary care? And we're going to go over that paper.
Right. And so this is a paper that was just published in Canadian Family Physician this this month. Yeah. And it's been a while to come out, but it's a really good article because there's not a lot of systematic reviews that address this question. In fact, there was none. So the yeah. question is what are we actually seeing in primary care? And it was led by Caitlin Finley. So Caitlin, some of you who have come to the actual office or been at conferences where we've presented have met Caitlin. Caitlin has been working with our team for, I'm going to say, at least 5 years. She helped us out, James, you might recall, on the article on television shows, medical talk shows.
Yeah,
she was one of the big data gatherers for that. She's helped us out on other projects and actually was working with us for a while as staff for, but got her master's, and this is part of her master's.
Oh, cool. Yeah, no, it's...
And you
need those people who do all the hard work, and then you and I just, take the glory.
Yeah, and try and claim it for herself. So you won't see Caitlin's name at all on this paper. I'm joking, of course. She's first author.
Yeah.
The second author, and it's really a shared first authorship, is Derek Chan. He's a resident, or just maybe finishing now his residency at the University of Alberta, but a fellow who was training. Outside of Canada, wanted to come and do a research elective with us, and it was just the perfect timing to match up on this project. So, and Scott was Caitlin's supervisor with a person named Dean Urich. So all of them are on there, and then all the usual suspects like Mike and Tina and Adrian.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's move on and talk about what we actually tried to do and tried to find. So we searched all sorts of scientific databases with the help of a medical librarian, just as you'd suspect. And we were looking for any indication of kind of what doctors were regular or primary care providers were regularly seeing. And not surprising, James, it actually got to be quite a quagmire, like all of these things do. Totally. And so, due to some kind of simple math, what we tried to put together is this minimum of 20,000 visits or five clinicians over a period of a year seeing patients. Or 75,000 patients, or sorry, 7,500 patients seen over that year. So these were different permutations based on what the estimated panel size is of a doctor, how many they'll see in a given day, and all of that kind of thing. But in the end, we got quite a collection of articles, and some actually we had to phone the authors up a number of times to get some level of clarity around what was actually included. For example, one of the U.S. studies reports, based on a data pull from many thousands of visits, but in fact, they're actually just sampling visits and extrapolating from there. So it becomes very tricky. We've identified 18 studies, and those came from 12 countries. Of course, the countries you might suspect, Australia, which had for a while had made a really significant investment in collecting primary care data. England and Wales, which of course has good data collection. Netherlands, which is really invests in primary care. Mm-hmm. And then other countries like Sweden and New Zealand and that kind of thing. The U.S. is, of course, there, as you'd expect, with some of their HMOs. And then some other countries like South Africa and India also recording some. So we included those, and I'll talk more about that, kind of the developing countries. But when we tried to pick studies for inclusion, we had a 99% agreement for study selection, and when we extracted data, the agreement was 95%. So those are pretty good numbers. You can't always get it perfect, but those are pretty good numbers overall. And then what we did is we looked at reasons for visit, and sometimes they were given in a very general sense, and sometimes they were given much more specifically. And so we're going to talk mostly about the specific reasons for visits, but we'll also mention the general ones in passing. They're not nearly as interesting, but we're gonna talk about them briefly. Kind of, there are things like the general class of upper respiratory, instead of saying upper respiratory tract infection, it would be ear, nose, and throat, or that kind of thing. So it's not as helpful. That's why we won't spend much time on that.
Yeah, and you have to figure out some sort of standardized coding, because there's different names for different things for different countries and different places. So, you know, to try and put it all together, you got to come up with a consistent name.
Right, and so that was a huge problem. So mm-hmm. some of them would put back complaints if dorsalgia, dorsopathies, low back symptoms, all of these.
When was the last time you actually diagnosed that in somebody? Yeah, I'm sorry to tell you, but you got a dorsopathy. I don't know how you pronounce it.
Yeah. But it means back pain.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, I knew what it meant. So, we don't use that term in, regular speaking languages.
No, we don't use that kind of term. So as mentioned, 12 countries, 18 studies, and anywhere from 4,000 visits, because they got in through one of the other math schemes, to 3,800,000 visits. And obviously, that's going to require a median, not a mean, because the average there would be way off. Mm-hmm. So the median number in a study was about 83,000. There was a low risk of bias overall, and 70% of the articles scored 4 out of 5 for quality. So that's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, it's a different sort of quality that you're assessing than you would for a randomized controlled trial.
Yeah, you're not looking. Yeah. These are observational kind of ecology studies. So what you're looking for here are things like, is it retrospective or prospective? Mm-hmm. Did they have a specified coding system, or did they just kind of write down what they think they saw, and mm-hmm. all of those kind of things? And was it a good duration, for example, over a year, that kind of thing?
Yeah.
So we can go on about the individual studies, but let's jump to what we actually found, which I think is kind of interesting. For the kind of reasons for visits, which patients would report, like the reasons they came in, the cough was the number one reason, and followed quickly by back pain was the number two reason.
Yeah, also known as dorsopathies.
Yes, also. Yeah. That might be easier for some of the listeners.
Yeah. Given that I can't say the word, it may not be, but there you go.
And then things like abdominal pain, pharyngitis, dermatitis, fever. Like you can see, a lot of them are acute visits.
Yeah.
So they're here for a problem. And yet, as you know, in medicine, we have a huge push for primary care to do more screening and preventative maneuvers. But patients, they see themselves as coming for an active problem.
Yeah. In fact, there was no screening.
Yeah.
In there's nothing. Why patients came in.
Yeah, they don't come in for screening.
Yeah.
And this finds that exact thing, and it should become as no surprise to us who have been in practice,
yeah,
that patients aren't excited about coming in for preventative things. But then if you look at what doctors report, upper respiratory tract is number one, followed by hypertension.
Yeah, and hypertension, for many of these databases, you almost always see it up there. And it's probably two reasons. One, it's so common. And two, mm-hmm. it requires follow-up.
Yes, right.
So
and you know, it's an easy thing to understand too. Like, how do you fit something in? Hypertension is given its individual coding by almost all systems, so there it's easily ranked and etc. Number three, routine health maintenance for doctors, not even on the list for patients, not in the top 18 for patients.
No.
But doctors, number three reason I brought you in was for this. The reason I came in was that I have, you know, an abdominal pain.
Right, right.
So it's this kind of difference in between what patients come for and what we think what we want to see them for is a fascinating part of medicine. And I was just at a meeting today trying to explain to people that even when I do allocate time for a routine health exam, it's very often circumvented, and I end up dealing with other issues because, crazy as this seems, I prioritize patients' concerns over the health, their active concerns over these health maintenance things.
And, therein lies your problem.
That's but, one of my problems.
Yeah, but I think
we're doing lists of medical visits, not lists of my problems.
Yeah, but the reason that routine health maintenance is there is because there is a big public push for this, and the downstream thing from that comes to the concept that, you know, clinics will often say you need to be coming in for this. I mean, you get it. Many people get it with their dentists. Well, you got to come in and get your teeth cleaned every 6 months, and you know, doing the annual physical and all that sort of stuff. And the perception is that that's something that we need to do. We know that people don't want to do it, but we remind them to do it. So it's going to get up there in the condition for why people come to see you.
Yeah, what we have slated on our health record, right?
So, yeah.
I mean, and everyone who practices knows this. You write down that they're coming in for, you book them for health maintenance, they agree, and that's their chance to bring up
other things.
Their longstanding sinus pain, their longstanding arthritis, or something happens in that week ahead of time and they're there for pharyngitis and et cetera. And so some of the things that you'll see on this list should just absolutely ring true with how the kind of things we're seeing all the time. Mm-hmm. So as I mentioned, upper respiratory tract and hypertension are number one and two. Routine health maintenance is number three. And then arthritis, so that would include OA, diabetes, depression or anxiety. We have pneumonia here, although I don't think it's true pneumonia that we're seeing that much, but it had a score of 7, which means it's ranked quite highly. Mm-hmm. Otitis media, and we'll get back to that in a sec. Back pain or spinal pain, dermatitis, cough, UTI, tuberculosis,
which is
that might be for, it's interesting it's there, but it's probably there because of other countries, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, right. Actually, it's interesting because, you know, and I don't think we presented this paper, but there was a paper a little while ago suggesting that no level of alcohol is safe. I don't know. We talked about that a little bit. I don't think we presented it, though. And one of the reasons for that was that people who drink more, one of the main reasons for why there's an increased morbidity, mortality, was more tuberculosis. In that,
really,
yeah. So it was tuberculosis. There were three things they thought it was alcohol causing it, and why they said there's no safe level. And it was tuberculosis, patient self harm, and traffic problem. You know, car accidents.
Yeah, of course.
And so the reason, and maybe we don't even have to go over that paper, but the reason that paper showed, and it was a very well done paper, showed that there's no safe level of alcohol was because they included. Not the included, but those things overwhelm the cardiovascular benefit. And that makes sense, but that doesn't necessarily mean that one or two drinks a day is or not beneficial. It just means that, you know, if you get drunk enough that you shouldn't drive or, you know, you want to harm people, that's a whole other issue around alcohol. But it was just interesting that tuberculosis was in there as well. And given that we don't see that really much in developed countries at all.
So I'll just mention now how did we actually figure out this? Well, there's all sorts of ways you can do this. Meta-analysis, though, one of the tricks is it takes into huge account the number of people enrolled, and we were concerned that a couple of the big studies would overwhelm all the studies. Yeah. So what we did instead was a ranking system. And quite simply, if you were ranked number one in this study, then you were assigned a 20 score. Mm-hmm. And we summed up those scores and averaged them out. And that's really how it all came down. So the higher the score, the higher it appears on more studies. And mm-hmm. that's why when I mentioned the score, I was just talking about if it's the highest score was in the 16s, because even when upper respiratory tract might be the top one in most, it's not the top one in everyone, mm-hmm. and it might be very low down in some. So pneumonia was still quite high, but that's again from, we'll talk about this in a minute, it's mainly driven by the developing countries that mm-hmm. are included in this. And so the last ones are other ones that you'll be familiar with, dyspepsia and asthma and things like that. So, yeah.
Well,
so those are common.
And parasites, yeah. I mean, again, we occasionally see parasites here, but probably not to the degree that yeah. you see them in third world countries.
Caitlin might actually classify us as parasites for getting our names on her paper.
Yeah, that's, well, that's a whole other issue and virtually untreatable.
Virtually untreatable. But yeah, there's no amount. So let's just talk about one of the other interesting findings. So we did already contrast what patients think they're coming in for with what clinicians think their patients are coming in for. And I found that somewhat interesting, not surprising, but somewhat interesting. Mm-hmm. And then when you compare developing countries to developed countries, now remember, we're talking only about two countries, South Africa and India, mm-hmm. both of which provided two studies apiece, but still a very small sampling of developing countries, but nonetheless gives us something to talk about, even if the data is entirely false, right, James?
Never stopped this before.
So in the developed countries, hypertension is number one, followed by upper respiratory tract, so similar to what we saw overall.
Yeah.
And then number three and four are depression, anxiety, and back pain. And number
and that's
five.
In, that's in developed countries.
This is in developed, yeah. Yes. Sorry if I wasn't clear. Yeah. And then number five is routine health maintenance. So you can see those top five, routine health maintenance, is one we've already kind of gone over. Yeah. And then back pain, depression, upper respiratory, and hypertension. So let's see how the top five compare to developing countries. Upper respiratory tract is the first in developing countries, and hypertension is second. So really not much difference.
Pretty similar, yeah.
Yeah. But the next two are pneumonia and tuberculosis. And number five is parasites.
Right.
When in the other arm, it was depression, anxiety, back pain, health maintenance. And what's as interesting as that difference in ranking is the fact that depression, anxiety, and back pain appear nowhere on the developing countries list at all.
Yeah, I mean, that's the most interesting finding.
Yeah, it's a very, yeah, health maintenance doesn't appear on there yeah. at all. So we've got this very distinct, there's something that's very common in primary care in developed countries, and that is depression and back pain and those kind of things, which is not, we're not seeing in developing countries, mm-hmm. or at least not in those data sets that we were able to collect at this yeah. stage.
And not in the top 10 or 12 or whatever categorization. They are still there, but they fall way below mm-hmm. you know, the overall rankings.
Yeah, they're not nearly as common. Yeah. So, you know, the study verified a lot of what we have.
Yeah. But I think there was some interesting things but diabetes was consistent in both groups.
Yes.
Which was interesting. So was urinary tract infections.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's a number of similarities. Arthritis was quite similar. And just, the, you know, the ones that sort of stand out that weren't much in the developed countries was anemia and epilepsy. I think that's kind of an interesting, you know, maybe we don't probably see that much anemia maybe here in developed countries, where it's probably from a nutritional perspective quite rampant in some developing countries, I would imagine.
For sure. And I think the type of anemia would be yeah. important here. Like we certainly see iron deficiency yeah. anemia, but probably not to the same degree as in developing countries, yeah. but we probably see very little macrocytic anemia, yeah. particularly from the folate perspective. We would see very little of that.
Might see a bit of B12 stuff, but
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. We see B12 for sure. Relatively common and, of course, increasing with age, but we don't really see folate deficiency, where I think in developing countries we might that might be more common. So certainly, and then some of the causes for anemia, more than just iron deficiency, would potentially also be common in developing countries.
Yeah, so some of the genetic things,
So, you know, really, like a lot of validation of kind of what we are thinking about, or and what we see in our practices, and even James, as you and I do all the kind of CPD that we do, mm-hmm. and everything, it kind of validates a little bit of where, I mean, the things that we've talked on. We've talked on colds and upper respiratory tract infections and otitis media and pharyngitis and all those things. We've talked on back pain. We've talked on depression. We've talked on OA and hypertension. And you can see there, and diabetes. And these are all heavy hitters on the list of family doctors. There's a reason why they percolate up as topics for us to cover regularly.
Yeah. And I think it also, you know, I don't know if you, I don't think you're able to get out of this, the percentages of people that this covers, but the, you know, I think, you know, for the top 10 or 12 or 15 conditions, if a healthcare provider doesn't have a reasonable command of the best available evidence for these, I think it's very tricky to know exactly what to do. Well, I know what ends up happening. You just do what you were taught to do and what everybody else has done. And so it's not that you know, to cover many of the topics that you see in primary care, you don't have to, you know, learn the evidence for, you know, 300 conditions. You need to learn the evidence for maybe, you know, 10 to 15 conditions and know it reasonably well. And that's what we've tried to provide, at least during the podcast, is that those pieces of information to help people make those decisions. And you're exactly right, Mike. It's focused on, because these are the sort of things that we see.
Yeah, we see all the time. I'm surprised you didn't, in developed countries, I'm surprised you didn't make specific note of number 11.
Urinary tract infections or medications? Which one?
Medications.
Yeah, so I was going to ask you, there's one of the things on the list for people who don't have the article in front of you, which is probably none of you.
Yeah.
Number 11 on the list was medication. And so it's in the developed countries. And, you know, there's probably a whole bunch of reasons why it's coded that way. You know, it could be medication reevaluation, I suppose. Medication side effects, or did they give any background as to what that meant?
No, that's just, I think that's refills, right? I think that would probably be refills.
It could be just refills. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so that's probably what that is. And then you brought up an issue which Caitlin and Derek did look at, which was what is the top, so what proportion of your practice does the top make up? Mm-hmm. So when you look at the top three things that doctors see, they make up in one study, they make up 23% of all visits.
So that's hypertension, upper respiratory tract infections, and depression or anxiety. That's a 25% of what we see.
Yeah, yeah. That's a big chunk. So, and then other ones who focused on the top 10, it was as little as 29% mm-hmm. to as much as 52% of what we see is that top 10 things.
Yeah.
And then getting into bigger numbers, things like the top 30, it's close to 60%. And the top 80 is about 80% of what we see. So the things that are common make up the vast majority. And that's why I was at a conference, the FMF, last week. And one of the great speakers, he was talking on developmental disabilities and talking about the challenges there for a lot of us who don't see it regularly. And that, you know, one of the things about being a family doctor is you have to hit the books on occasion. And that's that tail end of what we see. And as you said, you know, you should be strong in the things you see regularly. And I couldn't agree more. But those things that we don't see regularly, it does require us to get the assistance of our colleagues a little more often, go to the books, all of those kind of things, right? Because
and also take all of the principles and stuff that when we try to present when it comes to evidence, but also just the common sense that you develop over years of practice, if you know, if you use those things for the less common things, it still, at least it grounds you in the approach that you might wish to take.
Yeah, to tread carefully and to look about drug combinations and all of those kind of things, decision making. But it's just a little bit more, it's a reminder for us in primary care. That's why, you know, we often feel, well, we're not experts, but in the things we're seeing all the time, we are experts. And well, so in many ways, for things like hypertension and colds and all of this, I mean, and back pain and that, we are the experts.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt. I mean, you see by far the vast majority of it. And, you know, it's interesting when I know you interact with a fair number of specialists on a regular basis, that most of them very, very much appreciate what GPs do. Like they get how, relatively speaking, difficult it is. Some don't. But you know, it's they have a respect for that perspective, and I think it really says that you know, we don't need to go down the specialist route. You know, you don't need to see a specialist for figuring out whether you need to be on a statin or not. You don't. I mean,
no,
that's just ridiculous. I mean, it's not that difficult a process, and you know, and certainly for, you know, pain control and things like that, you know, the vast majority of people are more than in primary care is more than enough to help with that, because one, there's not a lot of magical things that other people have.
No, yeah, there's no magic to it, and that recipe is pretty straightforward for the most part. So I agree.
And, you know, so I think, you know, this is a useful sort of, if you guys get a chance to look at this article, it's a useful look to see what's going on. And some of you who do write about these sorts of issues or talk about these issues, it's the first systematic review that looks at this. And, you know, most of the studies are reasonably consistent. I've seen these sorts of lists, like I said, dozens and dozens of times, but it's nice to go that, you know, we've done a sort of systematic review and here's the information. And so, it really demonstrates sort of the approaches that we take and the focus that we have on what we present. And, you know, occasionally we'll do some studies like cabbage leaves for breast pain, pain and things
like
that.
Breast tenderness,
Breast tenderness. And I noticed that didn't make the list.
No, it didn't. Surprise.
I was surprised.
Surprise, it didn't, but... But no, this was a great study by Caitlin and Derek. Caitlin, I mentioned we had her working for us. The only reason we don't have her working for us now is she decided to drop out of our work environment and do something crazy like go to med school.
God, the insolence of youth.
we tried to warn her, but there she goes. Yeah. It's great. She's in. Yeah, exactly. So, but no, she did an amazing amount of work. Her and Derek also did a ton of work, and so we were lucky to have them. But and so when I look at this, this is one of those things that people say to me, well, how do we know what family doctors want to hear about? This is one of the tools for us to look at
that for sure.
Shows very clearly what the most common things we're seeing are and how common they are.
Yeah. So I think... we'll relatively leave it at that. I mean, we do want to make sure that you know that the course in Vancouver is coming up May 3 and May 4. So we'd love it if you would attend that. Keep your eyes open for all the tools for practice. And our next podcast will be the 400th podcast. And we have a little bit of a special program or discussion that we're going to have about a few things. So hopefully you'll be interested in that topic. And... the word nihilist may or may not come into it.
That's right.
but we're not going to tell you more than that, because we're not going to tell you which direction we're going in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to refute it or to confirm it.
Yes, exactly. Or maybe a bit of both. Or neither. Yeah. You just never know. So I think we'll leave it at that. So thanks as always for listening.
Talk to you later.